God is good. His grace and mercies are fantastic. I learned a youth song. I don't want to be a goat, nope. But I won't sing that for you right now. Got plenty of other stuff to do here right now. The grace of God reaches out to us, and through Christ we do have definite hope, promise of eternity in Jesus Christ. Several years ago, during a family trip headed out to California, when we lived down, I don't remember if we were in Alamogordo or Lordsburg. Anyway, we were headed across I-10 to California and got around the Tucson area out in the middle of the desert there. It was late afternoon. It was after lunch and sleepy time for some people. Some of you don't have that issue yet. Anyway, a car went by me, passed me, and I noticed they were kind of doing a little bit of this, a little bit of that, back and forth down the road, and got next to a semi, and all of a sudden they kind of did a quick right and then a quick left and up into the borrow pit in the center of the interstate, rolled a couple times. In the meantime, I'm hitting my brakes, everybody around me is hitting their brakes trying to avoid another accident, and I whipped off, pulled off into the center there, and I was the first one on the scene, and the car is laying upside down, and there's three young guys in there, help, help, get us out of here, and by then a whole bunch of people showed up, and we got them out safely. Nobody was hurt major, so at that point the freeway is starting to back up, and so back to the car, and on we go. But ever had one of those happen to you? Some of you have. It's a little frightening, especially when it's right in front of you. The fact is, all of us are seeing major wrecks every day. We are seeing people destroy their lives. Aren't we? We see people in major trouble. Their situation is not good. They are headed to death if they continue on the path that they are going. It's not just automobiles. It's their lives, the way they live. People's lives are being wrecked by bad choices, poor health, immorality, evil practices, financial crisis, marriage and family breakdowns, and so much more. And it is challenging. And some of that even affects some of us. It rubs off. It touches our lives. Satan is having a heyday in wrecking lives. Do you hear the cries for help from your neighbors, from your own family, from acquaintances? Do you even know who your neighbors are? Some of you do, some of you don't. Sally and I are just getting introduced to our neighbors after being in there for, 3 months now? I've lost track. And in previous housing, it was really hard to get to know our neighbors because they'd go in the door or drive in their car into the garage and down goes the door, and that's the last you see of them. A stigma of fear also affects us. In our society, we watch the news, we hear the news. There's a lot of fear in our culture today. There's bad people out there. I'm afraid. I don't know if I want to meet some of those people around me. Some of you have that. Don't have to raise your hand. And yet, we are called to love our neighbors as ourselves. This is the marching order that Jesus gave to us. To love the people around us. To interact with people around us. For what purpose? Just to have a good day? To have a good neighbor? No. To share with them the hope and promise of Jesus Christ. To encourage them that there is a better way to live. that there is an answer for the problems that they are facing in their daily living. We are surrounded in this community by hundreds of thousands of people who are dying in their sin, who are suffering in their sin, and we have the cure. Amen? Who's the cure? Jesus. So, let's encourage each other to tune our eyes and our ears to the cry for help from those around us. And sometimes it comes in very subtle, quiet ways. They've been beat down so much that they just have almost totally given up asking for help. And we have to listen very carefully, very, very intently to the sounds around us, to the sights around us, to determine what to do. With the help of God, not on our own, but because we have God with us. Our passage today is found in Mark chapter 1, verse 40 through 45. A very obvious need is presented before Jesus. Verse 40 through 45. And a leper came to Jesus, beseeching him and falling on his knees before him and saying, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And he, referring to Jesus, sternly warned the healed man and immediately sent him away. And he said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them." But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the news around to such an extent that Jesus could no longer publicly enter a city, but stayed out in unpopulated areas, and they were coming to him from everywhere. Very interesting passage. Let's ask God's guidance in looking at this passage this morning. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Father, for grace and mercy. Thank you for healing and help that you give to each and every one of us in our bodies, in our relationships, in our daily needs, supplying all that we need, not necessarily what we want, and most of all, in preparing an eternal home for us through Jesus Christ. Father, help us to examine this passage, consider this particular topic of the cry for help. And so, Father, give us wisdom, help us to grow, guide us with your discernment. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we look at this passage, we, first of all, are dealing with the cry for help in the first century. Now, verse 40 identifies a leper who sought help from Jesus from this deadly, afflicting curse that he was dealing with. We aren't told how long he'd had leprosy, but it was a definite situation where he'd been dealing with it and knew that there was no hope, no help anywhere until Jesus shows up. The medical challenge. What was the medical challenge in the first century? There were no drug stores to go to. How many of you just, whenever you have a problem, you just run down to the drugstore and pick something off the shelf? They didn't have any of that. Very few doctors existed. There was no way to buy pain relief, salves, or remedies. Knowledge of ailments and cures was very limited. That's why we see back in verse 32 and verse 34, multitudes of people showing up after Jesus first cast out the demon in the man during worship service. They waited until the evening, until the Sabbath had ended. That's why they waited till evening. They didn't want to break the Sabbath, didn't want to break one of the laws. And as soon as it got sundown, here comes the crowds. And who did they have with them? All the sick people, all the people needed demons cast out. Whatever their ailment, whatever their problem, they showed up at the feet of Jesus asking for help, because it was quite evident Jesus had the power. And what percent of the people did Jesus help? All of them, 100%. Everybody was getting helped, healed, demons cast out, remedies that had failed for years. They didn't need them anymore. Jesus was their answer. Now, we see also an issue that was present in the area. Jews were not the only ones who lived in the region. There were non-Jewish people also living in the area, in the surrounding nations. And the laws of the Jews were not being practiced by the non-Jews. A very interesting thing. In contrast to the Gentile world, God's law includes health rules. To live healthy, you can go back and read the Mosaic Law and learn how to live a healthy life. Now, there's a lot of people who are trying to force on the Christian community, we need to live by the Mosaic Law. That's not what I'm saying. But we can learn from the Mosaic Law, just the issue of washing your hands after dealing with something that's dirty. How many of you wash your hands? Just thought I'd double check. But what we consider a normal practice of cleanliness was not even in the picture of most people. Even in the hospitals up through the, until about a century and a half ago, the doctors would go and cut on one person, they had blood all over them, they'd go to the next person, cut all over them, and they couldn't figure out why people were dying. Until a doctor started reading his Bible and learned about the simple practice of what? Washing his hands. That's outrageous, isn't it? We think it is, but that is what the situation was in the first century, up until about a century ago. And so the Jews were following all these rules, but there's a lot of people all around them who don't even wash their hands or do other cleanliness practices. An article published by the University of Queensland, Australia, Faculty of Medicine, December 2nd, 2019, if you want to read the whole article, I've got it right here for you, includes this statement: hygiene and prophylaxis became religious dogma intended for the welfare and preservation of the nation, talking about Israel. Of the 613 commands, 213 are of a medical nature. Frequent washing, caring of the skin, strict dietary and sanitary regulations. These and other provisions inhibited the spread of many of the diseases prevalent in neighboring communities. And that's just what I wanted to share with you. Even on our modern medical field, looking back in history, understood the significance of Mosaic Law in the cleanliness, in the health of the nation of Israel. And yet, most of the people around them were not even close to practicing any of those health practices. Thus, what happened? All kinds of diseases were always around. People were sick. The average lifespan I was looking at was 35 to 40 years old. This room would be awful empty today, wouldn't it? 35 to 40 was the average maximum lifespan. The most dreaded disease was what? Leprosy. The man has leprosy. He comes down right in front of Jesus and bows down before Jesus. And he was desperate for help. Now, this wasn't a quiet whimper. This is a definite, help me. Can you help? You can help me if you are willing. This man was contaminated with a disease that was slowly spreading across his body. It was humiliating. It was very visible to others. It was putrid. The guy stunk because his flesh was rotting on him. He was disfigured and he was demoralized. He was corrupted, leading to his eviction from his home. His family wouldn't have anything to do with him. And he was dependent on what little bit of compassion anybody might share with him for food. Because he couldn't go out and work. He couldn't go out and provide for himself. He couldn't be around anybody except other lepers who were also dying and in the same shape as himself. How much compassion do people have for somebody who is smelly, disgusting to look at, and deadly because of the disease? Look at the COVID situation. We're all in a tizzy because of the virus. And some of it for good reason, but I would say we need to trust in God more. I encourage you, trust in God. Follow health practices, but trust God is going to take care of you. Amen? As a matter of fact, Mosaic law required that if you had leprosy, and we don't know if this man is a Jew or Gentile, if you had leprosy, whenever you saw somebody coming towards you, you had to say something. Hi, how are you doing? No, it wasn't that. Unclean, unclean, stay back, I'm unclean. I can have nothing to do with you. Now, how encouraging is that? The classic film Ben-Hur. Have any of you watched Ben-Hur with Charlton Heston? Some of you may have seen that. If you haven't, take it. I think it's a good movie overall. But part of that movie has several scenes with people dealing with leprosy in it. And if you've got the movie or want to watch it again, just to reflect upon what it was like to be a leper. Not just in the first century, but up through the 18th century, into the 19th century, what it was like. Boy, if you got leprosy, your whole life was shot. You might as well just go dig yourself a grave and sit by it and wait to fall into it. It was horrible. And this guy sees one glimmer of hope. Jesus. Jesus helped this desperate man. We read in verse 41 through 43, in spite of the threat, in spite of the disgusting scenario, our master served this destitute man. With caring love, Jesus took time for this one who was rejected by everybody else. Jesus came and gave life abundantly to all who would believe in him and obey him. With compassion, Jesus listened to the man's problem. Do we take time to listen to people? Jesus took time for him, and Jesus decided to take the action that needed to be taken. And with conviction, Jesus reached out and did what? Touched this man who hadn't been touched by another human soul for who knows how long. Jesus touched the man with love and compassion, with healing. Jesus did not fear this deadly disease because his life was in the hands of whom? Of God. He served because he was doing God's will. And the man was what? Healed. Immediate healing. With command, Jesus ordered the man who was healed, this leper healed now, to obey the law. Very specifically, Jesus said, now, don't tell anyone. You go straight to a priest and obey the Mosaic law as a testimony to them that God is still alive. Not only is God alive, he is present. When they ask you, how did this happen? What's his answer going to be? Jesus. What were the results of the encounter that Jesus had with this leper? Well, the first thing we see that this leper received respect from another human being that he hadn't had for years, respecting the individual. The leper was fully healed with immediate, complete, total healing. Leprosy totally left his body. Third, we see that the leper was commissioned. He was given a direct order to be what? To be a witness to the priests that God still provides divine and complete healing. The man had been given specific directions. Was that an option? Or was he to obey those commands? He was to obey those commands. But fourth, we see the leper disobeyed his commission. He disobeyed his commission. He did not go straight to the priest. He began blabbing his mouth everywhere he went. I've been healed. Jesus healed me. That guy right over there. What would you do? But he'd been given a commission. He'd been given a specific order. You go first straight to the priests as a testimony to them. But the guy didn't listen. He broke his commission. He broke his opportunity to be a witness to the priests. And he started telling everybody except the priests. And as a result, this created more challenges for Jesus to mix and deal with the needs of the public. To the point where, what happened to Jesus? He couldn't even go into a town. He had to stay out in the boonies. And yet, people were still coming to him. Now, Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And part of that included helping in the physical needs. But what was his first priority? To save their soul. To preach the good news that there is salvation. That you can be forgiven of your sin and you can have eternal life. Jesus did have compassion on the physical needs, the emotional needs of the people. But he came to seek and to save the sick? No. The lost. Those who were lost in sin. Those who were lost in disobedience to God. That was why he came. Today, the cry for help must be heard today. Ailments of the body and soul continue to plague us, all humanity. Even with all of the so-called advances of modern medicine and civilization, we are such high-tech, smart people, we solve all of our problems, right? Wrong. There's still new things showing up all the time. A few years ago, it was AIDS. Our last year and a half has been what? COVID. Everywhere you go, it's COVID. It's the end of the world. You got COVID. Well, for some people, it has been the end of the world. I've lost some good friends. But God is still in what? Control. God is still in control. So we press on. Yes, we have ailments in the body and soul. But greater than that, everybody has one major problem. People have sin. And sin brings eternal death. We do have to deal with our physical nature. But more importantly, we need to deal with our future eternal home. Where are we going to end up? I don't want to be a goat. Nope. Because a goat ain't got no hope. Nope. I just want to be a sheep. Yeah. Because a sheep, he'll always keep. Yeah. That's just part of the song. Are we going to be goats or sheep? God wants us all to be his sheep and to receive his eternal life. Love for God and for people becomes the motivation for every person that makes Jesus Christ Lord of their life. The believer who repents from their sin, confesses Christ as their personal Savior, is immersed into Christ through baptism. That person is given the gift of God's Spirit. And that person is transformed from the inside out. Not just salve on the outside, but the Holy Spirit dwelling within, cleaning house, getting rid of all the corruption, all the evil, all the bad thoughts, all the bad intentions. God in us. Just as Jesus had compassion on the sick, the maimed, the diseased, the crippled and the broken, the spirit infested, we are to also, as his servants, develop the same nature, the same attitude. Going back to that passage that we had read this morning, that Brother Theodore shared with us, I'm going to pick up right where he left off. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Why? For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer to him, Lord, when did we see you hungry, feed you, or thirsty, and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger, invite you in, or naked, and clothe you? When did we see you sick? Or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, to you, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. So, we go about with compassion, with love, with concern, watching for opportunities to address the physical, the emotional, the family, the financial issues as much as we can to the extent we can. Because we're not doing it for ourselves. We're doing it in the name of who? Jesus. love with feet and hands and heart. Just as Jesus had compassion, we have compassion. We pray for God to lead us to serve Him. Yes, we all pray for God to lead us. But are we watching for those opportunities that can open doors for us to share the gospel message? Part of it is working through the physical need, addressing it, and then moving from there to the spiritual. The woman at the well, she was there to get what? Water. Jesus said, you know what? Can you give me a drink? Ooh, who's this stranger? What are you doing asking me for water? Hey, by the way, would you like some eternal water, living water? What? Where do you get this water? The conversation began. Are we willing to get dirty or sacrifice something out of true concern and love for the person? Or is your counter an inconvenience and not of the most opportune time? I would encourage you, keep sharing your ability, keep sharing your time, keep sharing your talent, because no amount of time or effort wasted is wasted when we do things in the name of Jesus. Let's be alert and do what we can. But that's not our priority. That's not our priority. When we were ministering down in Alamogordo, I met Chris. Chris was a young military Air Force guy. He was out on his motorcycle seeing the sights, all the sights of eastern New Mexico. You know all those sights? Sagebrush. And he was headed home, and on the way home, his motorcycle broke down. Out in the middle of nowhere. Do we have nowhere here? We've got a lot of nowhere here, don't we? And he was standing there by his bike. What am I going to do? Well, along up the road comes this old pickup. The guy stops. You got problems? Yeah. They load up the cycle, and the man takes him all the way back to Alamogordo, lets him off at his house. But that's not all he did. He also shared, do you know anything about Jesus Christ? And he began sharing lessons about Jesus with Chris. All that's done, taken care of. Weeks go by. Our church decides to go out in the neighborhood and hand out flyers. And I'm headed up to the last little, really run-down apartment complex. And I go around and knock on doors and hand out the flyers. And I get to the last one, clear in the back, knock on the door, no answer. So I stick the flyer in the door and get halfway out of the place. And I hear the door open behind me. And a hi. I turn around. Here's a guy with just shorts on, tattoos all over his body, big nose ring, long hair. Well, not long hair, medium hair, because he was Air Force. And so I turn around and go back and have a visit with Chris. This is like on Friday or Saturday. And I tell him where we're at, and he's invited to come to church. He shows up. The next day, this next Sunday. And he asked me, can we sit down and talk some more? And I talk, and he wants to know what it is. What does it take to become a Christian? So I go through scriptures, talk to him, and he's baptized the next week. And he shows up at everything that we've got because he's excited. He's met Jesus. He's found life. He's been looking for life his entire life. It didn't happen with the tattoos. Didn't happen with the nose ring, which disappeared. And he was growing. And he was constantly at everything we had at church, helping, learning, serving in the name of Jesus. And it all happened because some guy stopped down on the road to help him and started the conversation. It wasn't because of me. It was because of God's working in his life. We run into people all the time. We don't know what the outcome is going to be. There's a lot more stories I could tell you where I never saw anything happen. It looked like they were going the other way, running as fast as they could. But there are those who are searching for life. And part of it happens when we share in their physical need. The leprosy of sin continues to infest the world. Romans 3:23 tells us that every single one of us are touched by sin. And all of us are going to die because that's the result of sin. But we are given hope because Romans 6:23 tells us the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The tendency and willingness to disobey God's perfect law is part of human nature. And we've all been touched by it in the past. Hopefully we are getting past that with the help of God, the Holy Spirit. God provides the medicine and the healing. That medicine and healing is redemption through Jesus. Jesus paid the full price, giving his life on the cross at Calvary. His blood covers our sin, if we will accept it. Satan is the instigator and promoter of breaking God's ways. He's been busy since the Garden of Eden, touching every human being life, trying to destroy us. He is the liar, he's the evil one, he's the deceiver, and much more. Everything negative, everything against God. But 1 Peter 5:8 warns us that he is seeking to destroy each of us. Even as Christians, more so as Christians, because we have become his enemy. People who have not made a decision for Jesus, he's not concerned about them because he already has them in his bag. They're already headed to hell. He's got them. He's going to destroy them because God's judgment is against all those who have not accepted Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only Savior for humanity. And we have a commission. We have a command to share the message of Jesus with the people around us and to teach them as much as we can about not ourselves, not about the latest football team, not about the weather, not about the balloon fiesta, but about Jesus. Breaking God's will occurs in the multiple ways. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 gives us a lengthy list of ways that we can do it, even in our anger. Even in what we talk about, our interactions with each other, we still walk on the razor edge of sin. But through the grace and the blood of Jesus Christ, only through that are we saved. You know, alcohol is one of the leading legalized drugs that our society pushes on us. Oh, it's okay. Now, I'm not saying don't stop all alcohol because alcohol can be used for good. But a lot of people too easily get hooked on alcohol. It becomes their master. And so we have to watch out for that. Right now, there's marijuana is being pushed on our society. Some marijuana can be used for good, but a lot of it is being used for evil. And that's not good. A lot of other natural plants are being pushed on people as, here's your answer. Sexual freedom is a major problem in our culture. And it has spread diseases. It causes problems in marriage, in relationships, in our future, especially for our young people. Greed, overspending, selfishness. The list is unending. Wars are the result. Division is the result. Evil desires, neglect. They continue to heap anxiety, revenge, distrust, and so much more on the hearts of individuals and nations. And we are called to be the change. We are called to be the light, the healing for our world. The only answer to the afflictions of the body and soul are for every person in this world to make Jesus Christ their Lord and Master. And you've got the cure. What are you doing with it? Is it sitting in the medicine chest? Sitting on the shelf at home? Or are you taking it out and, hey, try some of this. Put this in your life. You'll find healing. You'll find hope. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Thank you, Father, for Jesus. Thank you for hope. Thank you for help. Help us to have ears to hear, eyes to see people who are in bad shape. And they're ready to hear. They're ready to see your hand of blessing in Jesus Christ. Guide us with your wisdom, your courage, your strength, your boldness, with your grace, your love. In all things that we do, let us honor and glorify you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.